You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Intrusions of God. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Interruptions? Sometimes they don't bother me. If someone asks for directions, or if my wife asks that I pick something up at the grocery store, I handle that calmly. Other times, I get upset. That's why I identified with a story shared by my friend, Rodney Wise. Rod and his wife, Julie, were living in central Illinois with their two preschool-aged boys, Clark and Evan. The boys had been quite rambunctious this particular winter day, and so it was no small task for Mom and Dad to quiet them down and get them into bed. Eventually, the boys surrendered, went to bed, and fell asleep. And soon Rodney and Julie also went to bed and fell asleep. Finally, all was quiet in the Wise home. Then the intrusion. The doorbell rang, jarring Rod from his sleep. "This has to be Dennis. Has to be Dennis," grumble, grumble. Dennis was the next-door neighbor, a nice enough guy, but he often intruded at the most inconvenient times. Rod climbed out of bed, his grumble, grumble, grumble turning into anger. And of course, the doorbell woke up the kids. "Who's there, Dad?" More reason to get angry. You can easily identify with Rod, can't you? Think of those annoying intrusions from telephone solicitors at dinner. Think of those people who see that you are busy, but they still insist on interrupting you with their own business. Grumble, grumble, anger, anger. By the time Rod got to the door, he was so irritated that he was ready. He was eager. He was psyched up to give Dennis a verbal tongue-lashing. Ready to launch that tirade, Rod opened the door and got a surprise he wasn't expecting. Dennis wasn't at the door. Instead, there stood a 6'7" policeman.
"Sorry to bother you, sir, but we got a call about some vandalism in the neighborhood. Your garage has been broken into."
Irritating intrusions. We grumble and get angry, but sometimes the intrusions turn out to be helpful. So next time, whether it's someone who barges in on your time or something else, like illness, go slowly. Yes, go slowly, because in one way or another, God is involved in that intrusion. That is what God does. Abram was living a settled life in Ur of the Chaldees, but the Lord told him, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." God intrudes. Abram obeyed, but God did not leave him alone. Coming in human form years later, God promised that Abraham and his wife Sarah would have a son in their old age. God intrudes. Moses was raised with royalty in Egypt, but fled to lead a quiet life in the desert.
"I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt," God said. "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt."
God intrudes.
When Israel came into the promised land some 40 years later, they became a sadly predictable people.
Through the centuries, they repeatedly forgot God, and so God intruded.
They were good with God for a while, but then they'd forget.
One of the greatest of God's intrusions came in 586 BC. When Jerusalem and Solomon's splendid temple were destroyed, and the Jews were forced into the Babylonian captivity. Yes, the intrusions of God are not always pleasant, and that Babylonian captivity was bitter.
Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and cried as we remembered Zion." Grumble, grumble, grumble. Anger, anger, anger. This person, this disease, this event has interrupted my life. The young person plans a career with great hopes. The middle-aged baby boomer surveys the achievements of some 20 years of labor. The soon-to-retire man or woman plans a well-deserved retirement. Your corner of the world may be great or little, but you like to think it's yours. I do too. Lord of the castle, that sort of thing. The intrusions through which God works say, "You are not the Lord of your castle. God is. You are His." Weak, flawed, sinful, vulnerable to intrusions, you are His. The word intruder sounds bad, but God's intrusions are for your good. Let's move forward from the year 586. In 539, King Cyrus released the Jews from their bitter captivity, and some 50,000 returned to Jerusalem, where the city and the temple lay in ruins. They started to build a new temple, but they encountered opposition and quit. Funny thing, though, they quit working on the Lord's house, but they made sure their homes were taken care of. Funny, in a sad way, how we sinners keep forgetting God. We should praise Him, because He does not forget us. A prophet named Haggai wasn't the most popular person when he rang the doorbell and delivered a message from God. The year now is 520 BC. Haggai speaks for God and challenges their status quo. "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" began the message from Haggai. He said, "Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Give careful thought to your ways. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house." Grumble, grumble, grumble. Anger, anger, anger. They didn't like that message. "The time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built," they objected. But the prophet repeatedly cautioned them, "Give careful thought to your ways." They did, which is a good example for us. "The people obeyed," says Haggai chapter 1. "They came and began to work on the house of the Lord." And theirs was not a grudging obedience. It was wholehearted and enthusiastic. Haggai 1:14 says, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of the whole remnant of the people." December 1998. God wants to stir you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. It's Advent, the weeks before Christmas. The word Advent means coming, the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's not the coming long ago at Bethlehem that we remember as much as His intrusion into your life now. Since Jesus Christ came to live and die for us sinners, He comes now, bidding you to confess your wrong priorities. Haggai's plea should haunt you. Give careful thought to your ways. But the message is for your good. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me." Advent is less a recital of the past than an intrusion by the resurrected and living Savior into your life now. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." so welcome God's intrusions, however difficult those intrusions may seem. He may intrude with a difficult person, a dentist, or whoever it is that annoys you. He may intrude through illness or some other unwelcome circumstance. God understands that you are vulnerable and not a lord. Psalm 103 verse 14 gives that comfort. God will not intrude in a way that you cannot bear. 1 Corinthians 10:31 gives that assurance. And His Spirit gives faith so that you can welcome the intrusions. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Faith welcomes the intrusion." Susan Denman is the manager of ethnic ministries at Lutheran Hour Ministries. She tells about an intrusion. A young woman from Colombia followed her boyfriend back to the States, where he dumped her and started dating someone else. Her idea of God was that of a benevolent light, good but unknowable and impersonal. I invited her to our weeknight Bible study, and she agreed to come. Over the next several months, she stirred our group as she asked question after difficult question about the Bible, about Jesus, about how we live our lives, about homosexuality, about those left out of the kingdom, and so on. Every member of that Bible study group found their own faith renewed as they struggled to answer her questions honestly and were forced to examine the basis of their own walk with Christ. As I said, the intrusions are for your good. Unfortunately, the story doesn't have a happy ending. Susan continues, "Upon returning to Colombia, she looked for a church, but only managed to find one that was cold and formal. She did not feel accepted there. Susan's group welcomed the intrusive person. The other group didn't. That new person with her challenging questions provided an occasion for God to bless that group with an increase of faith. The other group continued in its status quo, its religious ritual status quo. So, how do you respond? Grumble and anger? Or stirred to welcome the blessed intrusions? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." 1 John chapter 4. Sometimes it's not a dentist at the door or a telephone solicitor who intrudes. Scott Schmieding knows that. Scott is a 32-year-old pastor in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who was shocked to learn that he had a malignant tumor in the middle of his tongue. His tongue was removed in an 11-hour operation, and a new tongue was fashioned out of muscle from the abdomen. While a person without faith would see nothing good, Scott does. "My illness," he wrote, "has taught me anew to treasure God's treasures, holy baptism, holy scripture, the forgiveness of sins, holy communion. My illness has stressed to me the importance of family. It has given me more empathy and compassion as I care for those who are battling various sicknesses. It is providing me with countless new opportunities to share the hope we have in Christ with others." In summary, Scott says, "Experiencing cancer has been an unwelcome intrusion on life. But I rejoice. I am still able to proclaim God's law and gospel, to lead worship, to swallow Christ's body and blood, to sing to my children, and to tell my family, I love you." The medieval mystic Fenelon wrote, "The events of life are like a furnace for the heart. all your impurities are melted. The intrusions that God sends will no doubt upset your plans and oppose all that you want, but they will also chase you toward God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Grumble? No. Redeemer, come. I open wide my heart to thee. Here, Lord, abide. Let me thine inner presence feel. Thy grace and love in me reveal. Thy Holy Spirit guide us on until our glorious goal is won. Eternal praise and fame we offer to thy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.